Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Publishing eCast, sponsored by Mercury Computer Systems. I'm Chris Schufo, Group Editorial Director for OSP's Military and Aerospace Group of Publications, which include Military Embedded Systems, VME Bus Systems, PC 104 and Small Form Factors, and our internet magazine, www.dsp-fpga.com. Today we're going to dig a little deeper into one of Mercury's beamforming products, the PowerStream 6100. While you might be a tad concerned that you'll spend the next 60 minutes listening to a sales pitch, I initially shared your concern. It's true that Mercury is in the business of solving high-end systems problems. However, it's equally true that Mercury is one of the foremost authorities in the market of COTS signal processing systems. We all can learn a lot from Mercury today, and the slides that you'll see dive right into some useful technical, what I call technical meat. Our speaker this morning is Russ Adamczak. He's Director for Programs and Capture Management at Mercury Computer Systems Defense Business Unit. I've known Russ for a long time, as we have frequently crossed paths over the years. Russ is responsible for market and program strategies and plans for DoD-related business opportunities. Also participating today with Russ is Stephen Pierce. Stephen is Technical Director in Mercury's Defense Business Unit, and he's going to help Russ respond to questions at the end of the webcast today. I don't profess to understand all the nuances of today's briefing, but we're all here to learn. What I can tell you is this. I gave a briefing last year about the DoD's Global Hawk UAV and learned a great deal about how Mercury applied G4 Power PCs, a rapid I.O. serial fabric, and a well-designed convection-cooled chassis to solve a tricky set of problems on Global Hawk. Today, we'll learn how Mercury is again advancing the technology curve, this time applied to beamforming and SDR-like problems, using 7448 G4 Power PCs, serial rapid I.O., VITA's new VITA 41 VXS switch fabric architecture, FPGAs for digital down conversion, and an interesting open standard called Digital IF, which, by the way, is being produced as an open standard under VITA 49. Before I forget, if the slide content on your screen is too small for you to see, use the Full Screen Slides button right on the very bottom of your window to maximize the slides. As far as handling your questions and other housekeeping things, you'll note on your display consoles a mechanism to submit them. I encourage you to send in your questions throughout the briefing, as I will be doing myself, and Russ and Stephen will be allowing time for Q&A at the very end. By the way, it may not be possible for them to answer all of your questions due to time or applicability. As appropriate, Russ or another Mercury representative may also provide you more information offline after the briefing. By the way, we've noticed this in the past. Some of your logistics or audiovisual questions that you may have, send them in, and they'll probably be answered privately directly to you during the presentation. At the end, I'll do a brief wrap-up and provide you with any other pertinent housekeeping information. Ladies and gentlemen, please allow me to introduce Russ Adamczak of Mercury Computer Systems.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Russ speaking. I'm going to talk about exploiting the value of VXS technology as it relates to typical signal acquisition and data processing problems. The perspectives I will present are the result of our system engineering studies conducted with various compute-intensive algorithms such as RF channelization, direction finding, and beamforming. At the end of the presentation, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. As Chris pointed out, our technical director, Stephen Pierce, is also available to field any questions that are way above my head. What I'm going to do is quickly review for you the items that I will present today, but clearly what we're really trying to present today is showing how VXS and the PowerStream 6100 can unlock the value of your application by exploiting new levels of performance that is available with this new technology. I'm going to discuss today the VME bus switch serial standard, commonly referred to as VXS or VITA 41. I'll cover the benefits to be derived as a result of a number of comparative application tests conducted by our system engineering team. Our work to date has been completed based on our RACE++ generation of products. However, I will also discuss the PowerStream 6100 and VXS comparatively. My presentation focuses on performance and throughput expectations offered by the PowerStream 6100 module set in terms of an RF channelizer and direction finding and beamforming test algorithms. As a result of the presentation, you should have a fairly good understanding of the delivered benefits enabled by VXS and serial rapid I/O technology, incorporated in the PowerPC and FPGA products that we offer. You'll also learn about the PowerStream 6100 development system. This is a quick start type of capability that we're offering to our new customers. I want to point out that the presentation is not a technical presentation on the merits of channelization, direction finding, and beamforming. You, as systems integrators and contractors, have that expertise. My intent today is to introduce you to a few of the engineering sizing analyses we've conducted and provide a product overview for further follow-up at an appropriate level to suit your interests with our applications and our systems engineering staff. For those of you that are not thoroughly familiar with Mercury, you should be assured that we are the leading supplier of COTS-deployed embedded computer technologies used on all the platforms you see in this graphic and many more. Our experience affords us the unique ability to identify, qualify, and understand C4 ISR contractor requirements engaged in signal and image processing applications, including radar, ELINT, EYR, COMINT, electronic warfare, and IMINT. In fact, we have some additional data fusion perspectives and network-centric warfare ideas, but we won't be able to cover them today. Because of our experience and range of products, we're able to rapidly introduce new technology and provide substantive advice regarding the migration from in-house designs to COTS technology, as well as the migration of succeeding COTS technology generations. So if you're developing systems today deployed on land, air, or sea-based platforms, we can provide force multiplying engineering professional services to support our products, which will minimize program risk as you redeploy your applications to severe space-constrained or mobile platforms in lower echelon units. In terms of a VXS overview, I thought it'd be worthwhile to provide a quick reference check. This standard is considered by some as a follow-on standard for VME systems. This standard, also known as VITA 41, brings the VME bus into high-speed packet switch serial fabrics, yet retains physical backward compatibility with legacy VME systems, such as VME 32 and VME 64. VXS is an ANSI standard that combines parallel VME bus with enhancements to support switch serial fabrics, including PCI Express, RapidIO, and InfiniBand over a new high-speed P0 connector. It maintains backward compatibility with the existing VME backplanes that do not have a conflicting P0 implementation. Provisions have been made to the standard for other capabilities supporting gigabit Ethernet and live insertion capabilities. So why don't we go on to the actual discussion of some of the algorithms we tested. I first want to introduce you to some of the systems engineering analyses we've done to size the performance and throughput on our technology. We don't have time today to go into much depth into the technical details of the algorithms, nor a detailed explanation of the results obtained. However, we'll be happy to follow up with you one-on-one to answer any of your questions and go into any depth of detail to satisfy your curiosity. Each one of the following slides could use a one-hour discussion alone with our systems engineers that did the work. As I've said, I've asked one of our technical directors, Stephen Pierce, to participate during the Q&A session for any specific questions you may want to ask. So looking at things from a high-level system design perspective, our systems engineering team conducted an analysis that was broken down into three major components: a channelizer detector, a direction-finding algorithm, and a beamforming algorithm. In the center of the slide there, you see a block that says array simulator. This simulator is a utility used to simulate the decorrelated noise and correlated signal that one might see in multiple streams from an actual four-channel antenna array. It basically spoofs the software into thinking that the signal from the channelizer detector was received by a multi-antenna array. The frequency hopping signals are generated initially by a block that is not on this diagram, by the way. Let me again emphasize that these algorithms are hardly applications. However, we believe the bandwidth and performances that we've experienced, stress the architecture and model the bandwidth and throughput requirements representative of the systems you might build for your customers. The next few slides are oriented towards low-band RF using PowerPCs and FPGAs. However, I do have some material today discussing high-band processing using FPGAs as well. What's really important, though, is to understand the complexity, but more importantly, the ease-of-use tools that Mercury provides relative to programming a multi-computer system. Mapping the application and managing data flow on a multi-computer can be very complex. However, the value brought to you by VXS and the PowerStream 6100, in addition to the software that we provide, can help you achieve performance standards that can be summarized in five words: increased bandwidth, throughput, and density. You can see in this slide a typical topology for RF channelization, direction finding, and beamforming. We know that channelization and direction finding beamforming algorithms require discrete data transfers between processes and processors. We found that the data transfers typically increase bandwidth demand by as much as 4x in channelization, the detector estimator step, and ultimately the direction and beamforming step. The 4x increase is due to the overlap prior to FFT bin selection. The bandwidth is then dramatically reduced. There are other overall bandwidth increases due to there being a need to exchange data between channels for DF and beamforming processing. We also discovered that the increase in bandwidth for the distributed FFT part of the problem is because we spread the processing over multiple processors. In an FPGA implementation, the bandwidth explosion gets confined to the FPGA that implements FFT and detection such that the data is not left off the chip before it is reduced to just energy-bearing channels. This data bandwidth requirement in this architecture is a function of the number of ADD input lines and the digitization rates. The available ADD technology today delivers performance somewhere in the range of 14 bits of resolution at 105 megasamples per second. Tomorrow's ADDs will deliver 4 to 16 bits at 130 megasamples per second. So clearly the trend is going up. The serial rapid I.O. higher bandwidth fabric is required simply because the processing is larger than one element can handle. Data needs to be exchanged between nodes to implement processing stages, and this can lead to bandwidth requirements much higher than traditional fabrics. And Race++ can deliver it as application performance increases are pursued. Higher throughput and low latency is achieved through a pipeline single process multiple data path architecture offered through the PowerStream 6100 and the Serial Rio VXS products that we offer. Efficient memory access is achieved through data reorganization techniques. You may be familiar with the DRI standard. Concurrent interstage reorganization and processing is achieved through the PowerStream 6100 DMA architecture. And lastly, processing efficiency is optimized by using a highly optimized scientific algorithm library. So the combination of fast, efficient data path distribution through serial rapid I.O., efficient corner turning performance through our data reorganization and DMA implementation, and fast optimized processing offered through our PowerPCs and FPGAs and algorithm libraries deliver some interesting performance results. However, it's important to note that, getting back to the complexity of multi-computer programming, the parallel acceleration system that Mercury offers is very useful in overcoming this complexity. Treating processors as managed clusters and data links managed as a single channel greatly simplify the overall data communication and reorganization for typical corner turning in this application. Mercury's Parallel Application System, or PAS, is the tool that enables a simplified software implementation. This software development productivity tool, when used with a high bandwidth offered through VXS and serial rapid I.O., delivers efficient scalability in bandwidth and throughput required for these applications. Going to the first step of the processing diagram, the RF channelizer, as I mentioned earlier, we have covered a number of application examples, and this is really the first step here that I'd like to review. The intercept receiver reference design that we've developed contains basic versions of algorithms that are commonly found deployed in many RF applications. It was created for the purpose of improving Mercury hardware and software products for use in customer applications. This application, this test application, has been ported to several different Mercury hardware families, including 9U Race++, 6U Race++, 3U Compact PCI, and of course, 6U VXS. We have employed these using a number of operating system tools, including our own MCOE, Linux, VXWorks, and Solaris. And this is clearly the hardware range of products, as well as the software that is very popular today with the contractors that we do business with. Customers demand very high bandwidth, low latency, scalable solutions that interface with popular third-party hardware components and open standards. This RF reference design is used to prove that Mercury's products will solve these problems. Our first project entailed a SIGINT channelizer using a PowerPC Race++ systems configuration. We defined the problem to distribute an FFT-based channelization detection and signal parameterization algorithm over multiple nodes in a multi-computer. Our results have predicted that our current Motorola 7410 500 MHz modules, as compared to our 400 MHz-based modules, would not necessarily be of significant interest to our customers. The mere clock speed improvement just wasn't enough to capture the interest and to justify the migration. However, the algorithms definitely run more efficiently in the next generation of 1 GHz Motorola 7448 processors utilizing VXS and serial rapid I.O. by at least 2x. This is not only just a clock speed improvement, it's also a fabric and interprocessor bandwidth efficiency that allows that decreases the bottlenecks and improves the I/O efficiency between the processors and the processees. The inherent microprocessor architecture, in addition to the clock speed improvement, may be the determining factor in whether or not one computer microprocessor is more preferential than the other. There are internal architectures that one needs to be concerned about, for instance, the cache size and the memory speeds when you are implementing your applications, in addition to the available bandwidth of the fabric. Our systems engineering professional services organizations understand the mapping bottlenecks and the issues involved when one tries to port applications to this environment. And again, it's this organization, the Defense Professional Services Organization, that is here to help and augment your engineering development effort. Going back to this slide here, you can see over, let's say, on the right-hand side of the slide, that area graph in the center right-hand side. I'm going to be talking about that for a few seconds here. In terms of the PowerPC 400 MHz microprocessor, in order to maintain a 200 megabyte per second real-time throughput of the interrupt receiver, we estimated that it would take approximately 25 to 30 channelizer compute elements and about 12 to 18 high-speed alarm compute elements to maintain that real-time rate. Of course, as processor speed improves and as your fabric speeds improve through the PowerStream 6100 and serial rapid I.O., we expect the number of multi-computers to scale down in an appropriate fashion. In the lower right-hand corner of this chart, you can see, I'm referring now to the, I guess I'll call it the three-dimensional bar chart. Another estimation of computing resource requirements indicates that if a real-time input rate of 105 megasamples per second, depending on the FFT size from 4 to 16K, and overlap coefficient of 2 to 4X, the number of compute elements will vary between 24 to 47 CEs, or compute elements. And again, through PowerStream 6100 and the VXS serial rapid I.O. fabric, we expect that to scale down significantly. Going on to the next step of the systems engineering analysis, we can move on to the studies that we've done with an FPGA implementation. We additionally connected this equipment up to a VDIF49 signal source. In this case, we used the DRS9136C tuner. Dramatic processing density improvements can be achieved by migrating certain portions of an RF receiver to FPGAs. We experienced about a 22x, yes, that's a 22-time speed-up improvement over a typical PowerPC implementation. Again, that's referencing back to the 7410 PowerPC implementation, However, with the newer generation of chips, 22X could go down. I'll leave it to Stephen Pierce at the end of the presentation to talk about a little bit more details in terms of the scaling that we expect to see with the newer generations of chips. Lessons learned from this SIGINT reference application allows us to design our next generation of products to provide the optimal balance between FPGAs and conventional processors in a heterogeneous computer environment. So you can mix and match FPGAs for front-end signal processing and then use PowerPCs for middle-end processing as well. Analog to digital converters get faster every day, and beamforming and geolocation algorithms require multiple ADDs. Mercury is helping to develop Vita-49 as well. Vita-49, for those of you that don't know, is a scalable open standard that simplifies the integration of RF tuners and ADDs with digital processing resources. A significant amount of digital processing resources are required to implement typical SIGINT or electronic warfare algorithms. Mercury invests heavily in high-performance switch fabric technologies and will continue to do so in terms of Vita-41 and VXS and Vita-46 interconnect standards. And we've made this public in press releases over the past few months. And, of course, these fabrics are necessary to provide high-speed links with multiple FPGAs, microprocessors, and I/O devices in a multi-computer. The SIGINT reference design here allows us to test these new technologies before they are released to customers. Going on to the direction finding and beamforming part of analysis, we have been investigating the implementation of multi-channel DF and adaptive beamforming algorithms in order to identify and quantify throughput, latency, computational, and internet processor bandwidth requirements. This information is used to provide feedback into our products to ensure alignment with our customers' needs and requirements, as well as provide in-house expertise in mapping these algorithms to our computer systems. We found through this study, first, that these algorithms can scale linearly in our fabric architectures. Second, PASS provides nearly the same performance as point-to-point links. And third, we determined that typical application code did not need to be recompiled in order to meet these scalability and performance requirements. So what I want to do at this point is get into a little bit more in terms of some of the efficiencies that are built into PASS, particularly as it relates to corner turning and global data reorganization. If we look at the problem from a programming efficiency point of view, this graphic depicts the relationship of the data in three-dimensional space, typically seen during a corner-turning step. Data is redistributed between processing elements using DMA to provide concurrent communication and computation. More efficient corner-turning can be implemented using data reorganization and redistribution techniques as depicted through simple parameter sets using Mercury's PASS. PASS provides nearly the same performance as discrete point-to-point DMA transfers, as I mentioned earlier. PASS also provides nearly linear runtime scalability since there's no code recompile to scale the application. It's important to emphasize that cumbersome discrete point-to-point DMA transfers are avoided through the use of PASS programming API, and it significantly reduces the amount of programming, the complexity, and therefore improves program efficiency and thereby reducing costs. In terms of the application benchmarks, if we look at the problem from a processing density point of view, as I alluded to earlier, our tests have shown some unique requirements for these applications, or unique results. Our FPGA product offerings deliver solutions to solve the bottleneck problems that you'll typically find in these kinds of corner-turning data reorganization types of problems. We found that our FPGA products and our serial rapid I.O. architecture showed a 22x improvement over traditional PowerPC-based application designs. And the power utilization on the board was only about 70 watts per board. As I mentioned earlier, we experienced some bottlenecks using RACE++ interconnect design. However, serial rapid I.O. provides around 2 gigabytes per second point-to-point, which is roughly a 10x improvement in speed, thereby significantly reducing the I/O bottleneck. In terms of addressing the FPGA, I/O, and integration, FPGAs can certainly exploit the streaming nature and inherent parallelism of the DSP applications very efficiently. However, as I mentioned earlier, there are I/O bottlenecks that need to be considered, and the implementation of non-standard I/O can lead to delays in the time to deliver results and might require some costly IP module redesigns. However, while you're using FPGAs, if you're using that, if you're using our hardware in conjunction with a software tool called FDK, or the FPGA Development Kit for Mercury, we provide infrastructure IP components that relieve the I/O overhead, if you will, the I/O development overhead concerns and the bottlenecks, and simplify communication between the FPGAs. So that covers some of the basic component technology, some of the an analysis that we have done regarding some of these typical algorithms in electronic warfare environment. What I'd like to do now is go over, provide an overview of the PowerStream 6100 module set. Based on Mercury's understanding of typical application data bandwidth, throughput, and related processing size, power, and weight concerns of these EW applications, we designed and are now delivering the PowerStream 6100 series. This first slide here is a quick overview of the module set that we are offering. The PowerStream product family is made up of four modules, including a high compute density processing module, or HCD, an ADD digitizer and FPGA module, switch card technology, as well as a host carrier card. These three system modules use serial rapid I/O fabric implemented in the ANSI standard Vita 41. I guess I should also add or emphasize that these modules here are available in configurations using a gigahertz processor delivering power consumption somewhere in the 70 watt or under range. The FPGAs and the HCD would clearly be upward towards the 70 watts, but the switch card and the host carrier card are far below that. This is important, particularly when you're trying to deploy systems either in UAVs or perhaps in airborne applications where size, weight, and power are of concern. So in terms of the PowerStream 6100, we are building these for rugged environments, and we are paying close attention to power per slot limitations of most deployed platforms today. All of these modules are available as an integrated system set or could be used as individual modules as required by systems integrators and contractors. Onto the a quick description of the HCD. The high compute density module exploits the value of new processing clock speeds at 1 gigahertz while balancing the I/O load over the serial rapid I/O fabric. This product contains other useful features, including 8 megabytes of flash memory, thermal sensors for deployed platforms integration, commercial, in addition to vibration and humidity ruggedization, all in a package that I said before yields something under about 70 watts per slot. Now, you'll see here noted in this particular graphic here that center crossbar that is says parallel rapid I/O. On this first implementation, we do have a bridge of going from parallel to serial rapid I/O when you go out the P0 connector, but be assured that you are going off the board at serial rapid I/O rates. Here you can see on this slide a depiction of the board, an actual photo of the board. We do have demos available, and we are delivering product today. In fact, we began our first shipments the end of November, early December timeframe. In the next slide, you'll see here the PowerStream 6100 switch module. This module connects up to 18 slots over a switch serial fabric, the serial rapid I/O standard. It's important to emphasize that RapidIO delivers up to 18 gigabytes per second bisection bandwidth in a fully populated chassis. Two of these cards in the backlink gives you full connectivity between all the cards and the system chassis. This band will provide the I/O capacity for very sophisticated channelization as well as direction finding and beamforming applications. Here you see depicted an actual photo of the board. I should emphasize that this board, again, is well below 70 watts per slot. This next slide here is a graphical presentation of the host carrier card. This card is built with a PowerPC 8540 CPU, onboard flash, SD RAM, and Ethernet and RS232 ports. It also contains two PMC slots for any customer-preferred compatible third-party product. As I alluded to this earlier, Mercury will be happy to provide any engineering support necessary to deliver preferred PMC cards to you, our customers. We'll do this through our Defense Professional Services organizations, through our systems engineering group. On the next slide, you see here depicted a photograph of the host carrier card. Again, this is shipping, and it is available delivery in all the systems that we're offering for sale. It would be worthwhile to go over the FPGAs, but more importantly, the density that these FPGAs are offering our customers. We have a new product line by virtue of the merger with Ecotec in Huntsville, Alabama. We have a product set here that we're referring to as the ECV family of FPGA boards. This particular board that you see here depicted in this graphic combines four channels of high-speed A-to-D conversion with time and frequency domain receiver processing, as well as user-programmable FPGA processing nodes. The VME board is available as both a single or a dual slot, in addition to backplane data interfaces, including Grace++, Vita 41, and VME. This product provides a very high bandwidth external link for composite multi-channel data processing, such as beamforming, direction finding, for up to 8 input IF channels across 2 boards. So you can see there's an awful lot packed on this board, and it's available in Vita 41. The next slide here, you can see a variation of this particular product, built for ELINT, LIDAR, and radar applications. And the ADDs are slightly different, accommodating the line input rate from those sorts of sensors. As I said earlier, the VXX standard, by definition, supports legacy VME technology. This is a great benefit for you, our customers, to minimize the risk normally associated with technology refreshment or insertion upgrades, because existing hardware and software designs will more than likely carry over to this new architecture. Here you see depicted in this particular slide, might not be patently obvious to you, but those are actual VME Race++ boards inside a VME backplane. We've successfully tested this VME 41 chassis and backplane with integrated Race++ VME boards. We successfully integrated also Motorola MVME 5110 single board computer and our own MCJ6 RPC system modules in this chassis. We've also tested the Race++ interlink for interboard communication. This means your VME and Race++ investment in hardware and application software is protected, and the risk of migration is minimized as you migrate from one fabric and connector standard to the new Vita 41 VXS standard. Mercury is now offering the PowerStream 16100 development system with integrated system modules. This system is being offered so customers may test out the serial rapid I.O. fabric, the interconnectivity on the serial rapid I.O. fabric, and the PMC integration on the host carrier module, and perhaps even their own third-party modules. The PowerStream 6100 modules include a host carrier module, 2 HCD PowerPC modules, and 2 switch cards in this chassis. I recommend that if you want more details on this particular package system, what we're calling the early access bundle, if you will, you should contact your local sales office for pricing and delivery information. I will emphasize that this particular chassis with this configuration is being delivered today. be worthwhile to go over the value that we're offering through VXS and PowerStream 16100 in terms of the density of these configured architectures. Here you see depicted on the left-hand side of this chart a four-channel system with RDF, a tuner, ADD conversion, FPGA, a general-purpose processor, as well as a standard I.O. This typical data acquisition system with RF tuners, FPGA boards, and PowerPC processors, the density will significantly improve over the next year or so by offering more denser processing features, not only through the introduction of faster clock processors on the PowerPC boards. However, the other technology is not standing still either. You can get significant density improvements with newer generation RF tuners, as well as with the FPGA products that we're offering. And in fact, you'll see there on the right-hand side, it didn't go too far into the future. However, there are follow-up roadmaps that you should be aware of in terms of what Mercury is offering in terms of denser tuners, in terms of more faster and more efficient FPGA products, in addition to the next generation PowerPC products. And again, please contact the local sales office for further information on these follow-on roadmaps for products. It might be worthwhile to see what a typical 16-channel system might look like configured in a single chassis. Here you see a PowerStream 6100 host carrier card, 8 DRS tuners, 2 serial rapid I.O. switch cards, 4 ADD FPGA cards, 3 PowerStream 6100 HCDs, and a single carrier card for other third-party I.O. This normally would have required an additional chassis to accommodate the increased number of tuner boards and PowerPC processor boards. However, with the movement and migration and density of technology that I alluded to or referred to in the previous chart, you can see the net result here and the type of density we're offering as a company of COTS technology. It would be important to address the open systems requirements that we're seeing more and more with your customers and clearly your own customers. Linux has promised a great deal to the community in terms of providing an open systems environment, and we've acknowledged that, we've recognized that, and yes, Mercury is now offering Linux on Compute Elements with VxWorks hosting. A new addition to our software operating system support is Linux. We're providing an open system software development environment, which is key to reducing costs and leveraging existing application code between successions of generations of deployed systems. However, some have said there is the performance with Linux leaves much to be desired. Actually, we've conducted tests that are now proving very exciting regarding Linux in a real-time environment. As an example, through PASS, we've discovered that our Linux offering is nearly as efficient at interprocessor I.O. as our MC-exec offering, while providing significant ease of programming features for multi-computer environment applications. This is very significant results achieved by our systems engineering organization, since it allows, for example, new signal processing environments like XMIDAS to operate in a programmable, deployable, multi-computer environment. The next chart here, I do want to go over a little bit in terms of some of the compelling issues associated with our Linux implementation. And it really goes to the single point of IP addressing here. Here you can see depicted on this chart in the upper left-hand corner, dev host, runtime host, and NC exec nodes. These constitute the traditional Mercury product offering. Applications for MC exec nodes are developed and debugged on dev host and dispatched to one or more MC exec nodes for execution by the runtime host. In addition to dispatching applications for execution, the runtime host is also responsible for booting the system and providing I/O and file system services to the MC exec nodes. Note that while the Linux the Linux exec beta that was shipped with Linux as a runtime host OS in VxWorks, will be runtime host OS for the actual product. The architecture put forward in this document strives to be runtime host OS agnostic, and hence our ability to not only provide Linux exec, but also VxWorks. The choice of runtime host OS does not impact your implementation. The developer workstation is a component of the system that is neither supplied by Mercury nor has any Mercury software content. In the traditional system, it is supplied by the customer and is the component from which the developer accesses the dev host. Linux exec nodes can play multiple roles in the system. On the one hand, they are drop-in replacement for MC exec nodes. MC exec applications are developed and deployed identically for Linux exec and MC exec nodes. Legacy MCOE applications seamlessly port to Linux exec. Linux exec and MC exec are fully interoperable with respect to MCOE services. On the other hand, Linux exec also offers the customer the ability to leverage the vast body of open source applications, single node, and network. It is this capability to leverage open system software that dev native and customer-defined node components address. DevNative system generally provides a native Linux development environment. The customer-defined node is the non-Mercury component that may be a part of a deployed system. No Mercury-supplied software runs on this node. It is the customer-supplied node on which one or more components of a distributed Linux application runs. Its significance is that it places generic network connectivity requirements on the Linux exec nodes, as they may also participate in the distributed Linux application. So that's probably something that is very new for you to embrace the fact that Mercury is now a Linux support environment. It's probably useful also, however, to cover the broad range of tools that Mercury is supplying as a contractor. As you can see depicted in this chart, the entire line of tools will still be available, taking you from the design stage through develop, debug, as well as deployment stages as you work with your applications. This is a further depiction of the Mercury-specific tools that we provide added value for in this environment. Certainly the highly optimized scientific algorithm library, trace analysis tool, as well as supervisor. It's these tools that provide even more added value to the VXS hardware, the PowerStream 6100 systems that you'll be deploying. And to the point of the key value add drivers that we're providing with our software environment, PASS, SAL, TATL, supervisor, provides some very unique capabilities that you, as a system developer, can take easy advantage of as you develop your complex and very sophisticated multi-computer applications. So, in summary here, I gave you some insight to our RF data acquisition, channelization, direction finding, and beamformer architecture assessments through our systems engineering group. I think you'll see here that VXS and Serial Rapid I.O. Offers very significant performance improvements, particularly with the scalability and the point-to-point throughput that our Serial Rapid I.O. implementation affords you. I reviewed with you the architecture and product offerings for the PowerStream 6100 family. I reviewed the features of one of our PowerStream 6100 compatible Ecotech ADD and FPGA products. We would expect that the new 7448 PowerPC processor will deliver significantly more speed improvements, perhaps 1.3 to 2.0 times improvement over the older generation PowerPC microprocessors. Using our FPGA product, we additionally believe that we could offer a more denser processing improvements by as much as 22 times over typical PowerPC designs. Again, the 22X is in reference to the 400 megahertz PowerPC as a baseline. Lastly, I discussed the efficiencies realized through our Unix operating system and software development tools such as PASS and TATL. I think you'd agree if our PowerStream 6100 and Linux products are any indication, hardware and software technology has significantly changed at Mercury. Okay? That's it for now. I'd like to open up the conversation here to any questions, both for myself as well as for Stephen.
Thank you very much, Russ. I want to remind everyone that we've noted your questions coming in during Russ's briefing. You certainly have an opportunity right now to add any additional questions that you may have. We've got just about 15 minutes, a little under that, for questions. So please go ahead and submit your questions. Russ and Stephen will take your questions, and then we'll do a brief wrap-up. So back to you, Russ.
Yeah, I can see them. They're popping up now. I want to wait till the screen refreshes a little bit to reduce the jitter a little bit. Okay, so here's the first question. Can you tell us a little bit more about the bandwidth at different points in the PowerStream 6100 board architecture? Maybe you can explain the sustained throughputs at different points from endpoint to endpoint as they relate to peak theoretical. Stephen, why don't you handle that?
Okay, Russ. I think the best place to start is to start with the payload card in Vita 41. A payload card is defined as having two ports. Each port is 1 gigabyte per second full duplex. That means that each payload card has 2 gigabytes per second full duplex worth of bandwidth available. There are 18 payload slots in a typical 20-slot Vita 41 chassis. So given two switch cards, that gives you a total of 36 gigabytes per second of aggregate bandwidth to each of to those payload cards. That's obviously split evenly between the two switch cards. Two ports on the payload slot translate to parallel rapid I/O on the board. Obviously, it's serial rapid I/O on the backplane with Vita 41. On the high compute density board, you would have 622 megabytes per second peak for each of six used ports on the board, two that go to the backplane and one each for each of the four nodes. Typical numbers that we've sustained from that 570 megabytes per second, from that 622 megabytes per second peak, are around 570 megabytes per second. If you then drop down to the node level, you can achieve somewhere in the region of, as a minimum, 450 megabytes per second full duplex to each node. Now, obviously, you have to be careful how you map your application to make sure that you avoid any bottlenecks getting onto the board, but that's the gist of the 450 megabytes per second. The specifics may vary, obviously, and it is a systems engineering task to map a particular application to Vita 41 in the same way as it has been for any fabric-based system historically. So if you need us to engage on that subject, then we can certainly entertain you with our applications engineers and systems engineers to map your application.
Okay, great. The second question is can I get a copy of these slides? Yes, copies will be made available. I'm not exactly sure how they will be distributed. However, I believe that will be covered in the wrap-up discussion at the end of the Q&A here. However, I also encourage you to feel free to contact your local office. We have applications engineers and account managers ready and able to follow up with you with any follow-on questions that you might have. Third question here is, can you tell us a little bit more about the availability of PowerStream 6100? As I mentioned in the presentation, the first generation module sets are available today. We are also offering a package systems that has a pre-configured chassis with two HCDs, two switch cards, as well as a host carrier card. We do have a follow-on. We do have a follow-on roadmap for PowerStream 6100 with newer generation technology. Given the venue, I'm not at liberty to discuss with you the details of the follow-on generation. However, in another venue, we can get together and discuss these sorts of issues one-on-one. And again, I encourage you to coordinate this through your local sales office. The fourth question I see here, can you describe in a little more detail the A to D types available as part of the FPGA boards in the PowerStream 6100? Steve?
Okay, so Russ had a slide in the presentation that was on the ECV range. That comes from our Ecotec series of products. We have quite an extensive range of analog-to-digital converter plus FPGA boards that cover both Vita 41, VME, and PMC, XMC-type solutions. They all start from the premise that we expect to be able to be the first to deliver board-level product and the best performance in terms of spur-free dynamic range and other significant analog-to-digital converter parameters. The typical numbers that we're seeing at the moment are 8-bit at 1.5 gigathumples per second and either one or two channels per chip, which translates into two or four channels per board. 14-bit 105 megasample per second is the current best solution, and obviously that would be four channels per 6U VMB board, 6U Vita 41 board, and we have the ability to join two of those boards together over the front panel to make an eight-channel beamformer. We also have 210 megasamples per second, and while we can't talk about it, there are obviously ADCs out there that improve on these numbers and will be coming in future product releases. So, again, talk to us about the unreleased product roadmap on that subject.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Actually, I have another question for you here. Let's see. It says... you went really quick through the system configurations for operating systems. Can you show me where all the different operating systems run and which are supported on each node type in the PowerStream 6100?
Okay, so you have a host carrier, and that currently ships as a VxWorks operating system running on that. On the high compute density compute nodes, we have MCExec, which is our internal operating system that we've been shipping on our Race++ product for decades, pretty much. Our Race++ product range got Linux running on the nodes in January of this year. And in general, the only thing remaining to say is that the MCOE APIs for data movement are common across the I.O. nodes and the high compute density nodes in the PowerStream 6100 system. Now, this is a significant change. In the past, we didn't have the ability to run MCOE APIs for data movement on the host in the same way as we can today. So the big benefit to the customer is that you can take your PMC driver that would run under VxWorks, and you can run that on the host carrier as well as the MCOE APIs that could allow software integration with nodes running on the rest of the system. So that is a much easier thing to do these days. Thanks, Russ.
Okay, good. Again, another question for you, Stephen. Can you describe how the Linux nodes are clustered over the fabric using IP?
Okay, so our goal was to basically make a Linux node inside the multi-computer be able to talk to the outside world as if it was just any old IP-connected Linux node. So in order to do that, what we did was construct a gateway to the outside world that runs on the host carrier, and that gateway uses the Ethernet, physical Ethernet capability of that host carrier to talk to the outside world, so it can connect up to an Ethernet switch and so on, per the diagram that you saw. And inside, the nodes have IP addresses and talk to each other or to the outside world using software that we created to run over the fabric. And obviously that means that your performance when you run IP over the fabric is much greater than going through the 10100 capability on the host carrier. So you have quite a lot of IP traffic capability within the clustered Linux network, as well as being able to cluster those IP connected nodes inside the computer, the multi-computer, to the outside world. We can tell you an enormous amount of data on the subject of performance relating to latency and bandwidth for various configurations. And one of the key things you need to remember is that if you have a Linux application that runs on a Linux node, If all it needs is IP connectivity to the outside world, it will run on the multi-computer that is delivered now, starting in January on RACE++, and obviously the future of our software offerings go in that direction.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like we have two more questions here, Steve, for you. Could you explain a little bit more about the impact of PaaS on decreasing development time and the flexibility of PaaS? There was, a follow-up question to that one. How standard is PaaS? How open is it?
Okay, so the easy answer to that is, remember that the demonstrations that you heard of Russ talk about were actually created by systems engineers rather than developers. And they developed application fragments, the ones that you saw, to do benchmarking in a matter of months using PaaS. Now, that would have taken a lot longer using alternative interprocessor communications methods that we typically ship or have shipped for some considerable time. They also benefited from strong reuse of those application fragments because almost all of the demonstrations you saw have some part of them that are related to the original work that took a few months to create. So we just kept adding features and reusing what we already had, and PaaS allows you to do that. The other thing that we benefited from was it's very easy to change the number of nodes at runtime using PaaS. So when you want to do a benchmark that scales up the number of nodes and then you look at the performance of a system, you're able to do that at runtime without making a code change. Now, obviously, there are application equivalents to this as far as customers are concerned, but this is something that we use for load balancing and also benchmarking. Another thing to say about PaaS was that it allowed us to basically benefit from about a tenth of the number of code lines that you would typically have using alternative interprocessor communication methods. Those methods are also very difficult to program. So PaaS basically abstracts a lot more of the difficult work of mapping an application to multi-computer. The other thing to say about the standards part of that question is that we have obviously got a history of, at Mercury, of pursuing standards vigorously, and PaaS now includes within it a standard called the Data Reorganization Standard, DRI. That allows PaaS, at least in part, to be, when you use it, a standard, an open software middleware. And obviously that's of importance to any customer wanting to present COTS and openness to their customer. Thanks a lot.
Okay, this appears to be one last question, Stephen. Again, this is for you. How are I/O devices like PMCs integrated in this system?
Okay, so I mentioned on one of the other questions that the I/O device integration is much simpler now than it has been in the past. Because we run VxWorks on the host, and obviously there's some futures that we might talk about where Linux is run on the host, we can take the PMC driver that typically the PMC vendor supplies and run it directly on that host 8540 processor. Now, that by itself is something that's been doable for some considerable period of time. The real innovation is being able to run the MCOE APIs on that host carrier at the same time. Now, that's basically the interprocessor communications API that is used between nodes in the multicomputer and has been used that way for decades now. The big advantage of being able to do that is you can either as a customer or as a service from Mercury, take advantage of a very rapid turnaround time to hook up the PMC driver from the PMC vendor to standard Mercury APIs for moving data on nodes as if it were just another node. And that allows you to effectively convert something that probably took months of integration, software integration time, down to a matter of weeks. Obviously, that time-to-market advantage of that is quite considerable.
I think that was the last question and answer. Over to you, Chris.
Okay, Russ, Stephen, thank you very much for the presentation today. Thank you very much for answering the question. Just a couple of closing remarks with regard to housekeeping. Mercury will follow up individually with attendees whose questions were presented but not answered here. Several of you, I'm sure, are asking or wanting to know, will this be available online? And the answer to that is yes. An archive of the webcast will be made available within 24 hours of this live event, and it's going to be posted in two locations, and they're here on this final slide, but I'll read them to you. The first one is on the Open Systems Publishing website, which is opensystems-publishing.com/mercury.html. You see that here in the middle of the page. The other is on Mercury's website, which is www.mc.com/webcasts. That's plural. At these URLs, you'll also find archives of our previous Mercury eCasts webcasts, including the recent briefing on the IBM Cell Broadband Engine Processor. For more information about the content presented in this webcast, you can contact Mercury directly at that phone number that's right on the top of the screen. It's 627-6951. Let me do that again. 866-627-6951. Or you can contact Russ directly, and his email is here. And Stevens was on the last slide, so if you download this, you'll see that as well. By the way, once you close your window today, in just a couple of seconds, a survey is going to pop up asking you what you thought about this eCast. I hope you'll spend the 30 seconds or less required to check the three boxes and then add any comments that you think are appropriate. So thank you very much for attending today. This is the end. We hope to see you at another Open Systems Publishing eCast soon. Thank you all for attending. Goodbye.